Blog Talk Radio.
Today, this is the Voice of Reason talk show with your host, Wayne Cooper, 7 p.m. on the East Coast and 4 p.m. here on the West Coast. So glad you could join us today. This is 2 days in a row because I wanted to come back and to finish up what we were talking about yesterday. So if you were with us yesterday, then you know that our topic or the title of our talk was, why is everything about politics and race today? Have you ever thought about that? That every time you turn on the TV, when they're supposed to be, newsworthy subjects, everything eventually turns to politics or race. That's all we ever hear about today. I know that if you're like me, you're probably tired of it, but I thought I should address it. And I covered some things yesterday that I thought were important. Now, my show today is going to be a little shorter because I'm only going to do this today for 30 minutes. And so I wanted to make it a little shorter. However, there was a couple of other items that I wanted to speak about because yesterday we did bring up things that I think are very important, things that we as a nation, the citizens of this country, we have witnessed. And we saw some awful things last year, last summer. We saw, of course, one of the things that set a lot of things off was the George Floyd killing there live before everybody, really before the eyes of the world. A man's life was literally snuffed out because of a rogue Minneapolis, Minnesota police officer by the name of Darren Chauvin. He set his leg or his knee on his neck, on Mr. Floyd's neck, for about nearly 9 minutes. And then, of course, we watch as Mr. Floyd begged for his life. And then we saw with our own eyes how his life slowly but surely just drained from him. And so we mentioned that the trial has begun. And we don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I can tell you that if I had my way, it would be no doubt that Darren Chauvin would be found guilty on all charges, because there were several charges, and as well as the other officers who sat there and watched what happened without making even an effort to take this man off of Mr. Floyd's neck. So that's just my one opinion, my one, feelings about it. But I suspect that most people feel the way that I do. And then we talked about the attacks on Asians. And, you know, that unfortunately has been going on lately. But one of the things that I tried to make people understand, that you can't pay attention to the mainstream media because they have an agenda, and we all have heard that pretty much they have concluded that the guilty culprits of attacking Asian Americans are white supremacists. But we've seen just the opposite. We've seen just today. I watched this morning where a good-sized man who happens to be a black man who beat up a Asian woman as she was on her way to church, I understand, and knocked her down and began to stomp her like she's some kind of wild animal. And sadly and tragically, there were even others who sat there who were working, and they watched it without even picking up their phones to call 911 or to assist this helpless woman in any way. And so we learned more about that man who did that. Turns out that he stabbed and killed his own mother back around 2001, 2002, killed his own mother by stabbing her. And I don't know why he's on the streets of New York, but he was and he is. And so he was the culprit in that. But I made point of yesterday of saying, especially here in Southern California, the attacks on Asians go way, way back. It goes as far back as the Rodney King riots. And if you have been paying attention, you have seen this going on. So I can tell you that as a California resident for the last 26 years, that in our major cities here in this state, the most populous state in our country, of course, in the major cities of Los Angeles, San Francisco, we're talking about Oakland, we're talking about other outskirts of LA like Compton, and places like that, even in Orange County in some cases, where the Asian attacks have been perpetrated by black people, specifically black young men. And I was reading some stats, so I have some of that, but definitely most of it's done by black people. So I also made a point that we know because, see, when people talk about white supremacists, obviously, they're implying that they're trying to connect white supremacists with Trump supporters. And that is unfortunate because over 75 million people voted for former President Trump. And we know that 75 million people that voted for him were not white supremacists. Okay. And so I made the point yesterday that Southern California is not Trump country. So the people here who are being attacked, the Asians that is, are being attacked by other people other than white supremacists. And for the most part, it's being done by black people. And then of course, the situation with the Uber driver who was killed, the Uber Eats driver that was killed, Mr. Muhammad Anwar. And our condolences go out to his family, two young women of color, two black girls, 13 and 15 years old, just kids really. And this man was an immigrant. He was from Pakistan. And so he was, his car was stolen. He tried to hold on to the car and the young girls drove the car and they wrecked it. The car flipped, thus killing Mr. Anwar instantly. And then, of course, we talked about the defunding of the police, how that's been a train wreck because we've seen the crime rate go up in our major cities across our land, New York City, Chicago, D.C., Seattle, Portland, Baltimore, places like that. We've watched these places. In fact, I read a stat yesterday that when you think about the murder rate, has been at the highest levels in two decades, okay, since the defunding of the police in those cities. So the murder rate, and then I told you even in Chicago, when we go back a year from this time, a year ago, 1 year later, the carjacking and car thefts have gone up over 700 more than the previous year, okay? And so that's due to the defunding of the police. And so the sad part of it is that we should have known those people in the city councils and those respective cities, they should have considered that there is one community that was going to suffer more than any other if you defund the police. And we know that that had to do with poor people, all right, from poor communities. They're the ones who have suffered the most. And so, unfortunately, that has proven to be true. And so I kind of talked a little bit about, but there was a couple other things that I didn't really go into in details because another thing we're talking about, why is everything so politicized, right? Why can't we have a conversation without politics being brought into the fray? Well, even when you consider organizations like Black Lives Matter, of course, it is nothing but a political organization, okay, because I try to make a distinction, as I know others do, between the organization and the movement, because I think there is a clear distinction. And I think that you have to be smart enough and alert enough and sober-minded enough to know how to make a distinction. And I make that distinction because they're both not one and the same. Now, the Black Lives Matters organization, of course, was founded by three females, and maybe some of you know who they are. If you go on their website, you can probably see them, but you can see them. If you go on YouTube, you can see them maybe on TV sometimes. And the thing about them is this. The women who started that organization have not tried to hide who they are. They've not. So to their credit, I at least give them credit for being honest. They did not try to hide or try to pretend like their agenda was not what it is. And they said, one of the persons said that we are trained Marxists, okay? That should scare you, because that's obviously rooted in what the Russians are known for, right? Marxism, right? And so, and then on their website now, they got a lot of pushback. And so I've been on their website, and others have, and we all noticed that they've scrubbed certain things from their website because they got a lot of pushback. However, one of the things that they said they exist was to, they say, to disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family, okay? And so that's what they said. So we know that the Western nuclear family consists of a mother and a father and children. And so these three women say that this organization was designed to disrupt that paradigm. Now, if you are a person of faith or from the Christian faith, and even if you are Jewish, if you are even Islam, you will believe in the nuclear family, okay, which consists of a mother and father and of children. And so this organization say no. They exist to disrupt that thinking, but they got so much pushback that if you go on their website now, you will see that that's been scrubbed away. But they also have said that they exist also to promote and to advocate transgenderism, okay? That they say that they don't subscribe to cisgender paradigms, meaning that if you believe in a biological female, and a person who's born a biological female and a biological male, they reject that, okay? And they promote transgenderism, obviously, homosexuality and things like that, okay? So they say that's what they are about. So they made it pretty clear that this is what this is about. Now, I don't think that really the truth is, from my perspective, and I'm speaking again from the organization, I don't think the organization is about Black lives at all, okay? I think it's about other things. I think it's about an agenda, a political agenda that promotes Marxism, okay, and other stuff. But I think that the Black Lives Matter is just a platform maybe to get started on, and some of those people have made a lot of money off of. But again, I make a distinction between the organization and the movement. Because as a person of color and as a Black man, I believe that Black Lives Matter. I believe that Black Lives Matter is a subset to All Lives Matter, because I believe that all people were created in the image of God. But I believe that Black men and women matter to the Creator, and that they ought to be treated with the utmost respect and dignity. So if you're talking about the movement, I'm right there with you. But if you're talking about the organization, because there's something else about this organization that you may not know, and that is, and I've heard it for myself, so I'm not talking about something I heard secondhand or third hand, but these women also are into witchcraft, okay? And so they claim that they're into ancestral worship. There's one of the women, I forget her name right now, but she even says, you can go on the internet and hear it, where she says she talks with dead people, and she was talking about one young woman who had died in the custody of the Los Angeles County Jail, who passed away, and she has said that her and that young woman, not only do they have conversation, and I'm talking about presently, currently, but she said that they laugh together all the time. Well, let me tell you something. That's witchcraft, okay? Because let me tell you, she is not laughing and communicating with dead people, all right? So that's witchcraft, all right? So I am not down with the organization. So I want to be clear about that. So I don't believe that the organization is about Black lives at all. Now, also, I talked about gun control and how that's obviously a big political hot potato. You know, every time somebody is shot, every time somebody is killed or murdered, the first thing we hear are the politicians saying that we must have some gun control. And ladies and gentlemen, can we at least agree on this? Guns left to themselves are not the problem, okay? In fact, I have not read anything yet on record that shows that law-abiding people are the ones who are perpetrating crimes on people. Clearly, we know who are doing that. It is the people who are criminals. But there's another element that we don't talk enough about in this whole gun control conversation, and it has to do with mental health issues. I don't think that we address that issue enough. You know, once in a while, maybe like on a show, like maybe on a Fox News cable network, because they're more conservative, they may address that because at least they are willing to say this is an issue that needs to be considered, whereas the other networks, you know, cable people don't want to do that because they need to blame somebody. And because politics always plays a role, they don't want to consider that if you look at the people who are doing the crimes, it is people who are not mentally well, okay? Law-abiding people are not committing crimes, all right? So let's at least understand that and not lose sight of that fact. For me personally, I don't have a dog in the fight because I have never in my life ever owned a gun, okay? The only dealings I've ever had with a gun is when I was in the military. I never had any dealings with it prior to the military, and I've never had any dealings with guns after my military career. So I have no dog in the fight. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe that law-abiding, mentally healthy people ought to be able to bear arms based on what the Constitution says, okay? I believe in that. So I don't want to take people's firearms away from them as long as they are law-abiding and as long as they are mentally well and they're not harming or hurting people. Okay, so, but that issue, but then, of course, I talked a little bit about yesterday, the voter ID, you know, that's political, and there's a strategy behind it, of course, because those on the left don't want people to have ID because they want anybody to be able to vote. They want somebody to just come off the street, someone who's not even a citizen in our country. They want illegal immigrants to be able to walk up to any doggone booth and sign up and to be able to vote, and so that the Democrats in particular can always win elections. And I just think that that is wrong. I think that the Democrats and those on the left ought to have more integrity than that, and they ought to have more confidence, because just as they sometimes accuse the Republicans of, if they have a message that is worth hearing and that is worth adopting, then why not they simply put out their message and do things the right way and see which way people will vote, okay? Stop trying to manipulate the voting process and trying to make illegals be able to vote. They're not authorized to vote any more than you and I can take a trip somewhere overseas, and it just happens to be their voting time, and I walk into, oh, I want to vote for somebody where I have no business to vote in that country. So the vote ID thing is just, it's just that. It's just simply a political hot potato that those on the left wants illegal people to be able to vote. Now, what I want to take these last couple of minutes, 10 minutes or so, and talk about today is to say this. Because everything is about politics and about race, I think that we who are Americans, I don't care whether you are white, whether you're black, Latino, or Asian, there's a word that I have for you today that I want to say with all my heart. I want, if you're listening to me today, I want you to take this into your heart. Time for us to stand up for what is right, okay? I don't care what side of the political spectrum you may lean to. If something is wrong, you ought to be willing to stand up for what is right. I told you yesterday that in my life, what I do is I seek and speak the truth. That's what I'm about. I seek and I speak the truth. I don't need to be right just for the sake of being right. I just want to know what the truth is about something, whether it involves politics, whether it involves spiritual matters, whether it just involves everyday common sense things. I just want to know what the truth is about something, and I just want to be able to try to abide by it, live by it, and then when I'm called upon, I want to be able to speak the truth about any situation. And so I want to encourage you, my friends out there, stand up for what is right, okay? We're in the 21st century. People are hurting. People are being harmed by politics and by politicians. And remember yesterday I told you who's behind all of this. It's the politicians. And I'm going to say a little bit more about them in my closing remarks for what is right. And part two to that is this. Don't allow yourself to be bullied into adopting other people's agenda, okay? Be strong, my friend. Stand for something. Have some integrity. Have some principles that you live by, okay, that you are governed by. Don't allow because somebody wants your vote or they would tell you anything or that they promise you something, you know, or whatever. But don't allow yourself to be bullied, because that is what is happening in our society, that people are being bullied to adopt a certain agenda so that the politician's agenda can be passed. And I said yesterday, one of the things is this, is that one of the reasons why the politicians are doing this, the people in power, is because they simply want to advance their policies, okay? They have policies, and they want to advance those policies. And so in order to do that, they have to manipulate. They have to instigate. They have to pit people against each other. They want power. That's what this is about more than anything else, is that they want to be in power. And then, of course, this is about their racial doctrines. And every time something goes wrong, right now, my heart go out to white people right now in America, because everything is pent on white people. And it's not just white people, but then they have to make white people into white supremacists. So unfortunately, that's what is happening in our country right now. All white people, you know, you let those on the left tell it, are white supremacists. So whenever something goes wrong, all of the white supremacists, okay, it's a bunch of hogwash, and everybody knows it, okay? So don't allow yourself to be bullied into believing stuff. So I want to say again to our friends in the white community, the black community, Latino and Asian communities, let's do something, okay? Here's what I want us to do. Let's remember that the politicians don't mean us any good, okay? They don't mean us any good. They could care less about your community. All they care about is their own constituents, about their own little in crowd. That's all they care about. Let me assure you that George Floyd is dead. He's been buried. His trial is going on. But I will assure you there is nobody on Capitol Hill that is mourning the death of George Floyd. Only his family and close friends who knew him are mourning him, okay? So don't be fooled by that, okay? When you look up and you hear Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell and all of those people, don't you be fooled by these politicians. They could care less. In fact, they thought that George Floyd was a thug, okay? That's what most people think. And that is why a lot of times when people like George Floyd are killed, what do people do? They generally go into their background. They want to see what kind of person they were. And then once they discover their criminal background, all of a sudden they come out and they pretty much justify that the person was killed. Okay? So don't allow yourself to be bullied into thinking that way. So let me just say again, to the persons I just mentioned, in the white, black, Latino, and Asian communities, we can get along, okay? I want you to know that. We can get along. We must get along. You know, ironically, wasn't it Rodney King who asked that question back in 1991? He said, can we all just get along? Well, it was a very good question by Mr. King, but it looks like his question has never really been answered in the affirmative, because it seems like we're always fighting, right? We're always talking about we want peace, but it seems like all we ever have is war, whether it be on our local turf or whether it be around the world, is always infighting somewhere. So I want to say to these various communities, we can get along. We must get along. Why? Because so much is at stake. I'm talking about the health of our country, the life of our country is at stake, okay? This is the greatest country in the world. With all of her imperfections, with all of our historical sins, with all of her faults, this is by far the greatest country on the face of the earth. If it were not, ladies and gentlemen, why is it that over a million people are allowed into this country every year legally, and why is there millions more who are trying to get here, in some cases illegally, because they are just dying to leave where they are to get to America? It is because of the opportunities that is provided here. They know, they live, some of them come from socialist countries. They come from communist countries. They come from countries that are run by dictators. They come from places where they are told where they can go, when they can go, how they can go, and all of that. They know the real deal. We in America are the ones who are spoiled and don't know anything about that. And so this is the greatest country. So just be mindful of the fact that the politicians don't mean us any good. They benefit from our hating one another and being suspicious of each other. You and I got to stand up for the truth and stand up for one another. And whenever something is wrong and whenever there's been a crime or somebody has been hurt, don't always just think the worst about a particular people group. Understand that there's people in every ethnic group. There are evil people. There are decent people. There are law-abiding people in every racial makeup, okay? And there are evil people of the same. So I wanted to just speak about this. So until the next time, this is the Voice of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper, signing out. Take care. God bless.